In sports, the St. Louis Cardinals host the Chicago Cubs in a game getting underway in just a little less than 10 minutes. Cardinals will start the game with only one regular outfielder, left fielder Matt Holliday. Right fielder Carlos Beltran is missing his second straight start with a minor knee injury, and now the Cards have placed center fielder John Jay on the 15-day DL with recurring shoulder soreness. The Chicago White Sox host the Detroit Tigers. That game gets underway at 1:10. There's more news all the time at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.
Support comes from Meyer Drapery Services. Specializing in custom draperies since 1972, Meyer Drapery offers more than 1 million linear yards of drapery material in their two local wholesale warehouses and retail outlet at 330 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Installation and design services are also available.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Dry and mild conditions will continue today for most of Illinois as high pressure settles south across the state. A cold front dropping into the northern part of the state could bring scattered thunderstorms to eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and northern Illinois late this afternoon and evening. Some of these thunderstorms could be strong to severe. The cold front will continue pushing south and will exit Illinois by Wednesday night. While most areas will remain dry, scattered thunderstorms could redevelop across southern portions of the state Wednesday afternoon. A slightly cooler air mass will then build into the region for midweek as another high-pressure ridge shifts into the Great Lakes. High temperatures today will reach into the low to mid-80s across the region. Low temperatures tonight will fall into the upper 40s across far northern Illinois and into the mid to upper 50s across central and southern sections of the state. In Champaign-Urbana today, sunshine with the high around 83 degrees, winds out of the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a very slight chance for showers late this evening, the low 55. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high near 75 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear, the low 48. Thursday, sunshine, the high 78. Then Thursday night through the weekend, we're looking at partly cloudy skies pretty much all the time, with lows ranging from the mid-50s to the mid-60s, highs in the low to mid-80s, and there is a chance for some rain Sunday night. Checking temperatures and conditions across the region, clear skies pretty much everywhere. It's 80 degrees in Danville, 78 in Decatur. There are partly cloudy skies in Centralia. It's 79 degrees there. Clear skies pretty much everywhere else. At Willard Airport in Champaign, 81 degrees, winds out of the west at 10 miles per hour, gusting to 20 at times. The relative humidity, very low, 19%. The barometric pressure, 30.02 inches and falling. And outside our studios here in Urbana on Friends Plaza, it's 79 degrees. It's 12:40. Local officials across Illinois are getting schooled in transparency. By the end of this year, they are required to learn about the state's open meetings law using training on the internet. Sam Hudzik reports there's a worry this noble goal could end up scaring away community volunteers.
You've probably heard of Illinois' open meetings law. It says that public bodies have to deliberate about most things in public. A simple rule, but the law can be complicated, according to State Representative Kelly Burke.
You know, most problems that occur, I think, are inadvertent. And I think by having better education, better training, we'll avoid some of those problems.
That's why Burke, a freshman Democrat from Evergreen Park, did what she did. Last year, she pushed through the legislature a requirement that all members of all public bodies take an online open meetings training. People serving on pension boards, village boards, library boards, advisory committees, including the Tree Committee of South Suburban Homewood.
My name is Regina Zofeld. I belong to the Homewood Tree Committee. We do a lot to make sure our town has lots of trees because we are the home in the wood.
Zofeld, who works as a teacher's aide, was told to take the Open Meetings Act training that's up on the Illinois Attorney General's website. So Zofeld tried, pointing her browser to the website.
So I click on that, and I'm supposed to be able to get in.
The first time she tried it, she could get in. But after 25 minutes or so, the website froze. So Zofeld tried again and again, as she demonstrates for me.
And I'll tab it and put in my secret password. And it says, your login attempt was not successful. Please try again. So let's try it with a capital T.
That didn't work either. This is frustrating, though perhaps not as frustrating as what happened to another Tree committee member, Donna Anfield. Anfield says she finished the training after 7 or 8 hours at least, not all in one sitting, of course, and then a small tragedy.
Finally got to the end, and then you're supposed to print the certificate, and I couldn't do that. It would not print for me. Now, I don't know if it's my computer or just the website itself.
And that's a problem because state law says the Village of Homewood has to keep those certificates on file. And that's for the more than 100 members of the village's 20 advisory panels, most of which, like the Tree Committee, don't have the power to make policy or spend tax dollars. Rich Hofeld is village president of Homewood.
I can understand the need for an elected official to do it, so they become more aware of the Open Meetings Act. I just don't see any necessity for a committee or a commission member to take it.
Some don't have computers in their homes, Hofeld says. Others aren't good with computers. He worries the online training requirement could scare some people from public service.
We're very fortunate to have them as volunteers. God love them for it. And it's getting more and more difficult, not only in the Village of Homewood, but everywhere, to get people to volunteer because people are too busy nowadays.
Both of our Homewood Tree Committee members say if they must be trained, they think there's a better option than the internet. Here's Regina Zofeld.
I think someone coming out and talking to us would be a whole heck of a lot easier.
That in-person training option already exists for people on school boards, and bills are moving through the legislature to allow the same for drainage district commissioners and members of some downstate public pension boards. But Attorney General Lisa Madigan is pushing back against the proposed alternatives to the online training. A spokesperson says it's critical that everyone get a uniform, consistent training to better ensure they understand the nuances and complexities involved in the Open Meetings Act. And Kelly Burke, the lawmaker who pushed for the online training requirement, says people without computers, they can go to a public library. Besides, Burke says her bill
contemplated that some people, for whatever reason, aren't going to be able to complete this training, and that's why there's not a penalty attached to it. So I didn't think it needed to be tweaked.
That said, if Burke hears more complaints, she says she's open to giving members of local boards, commissions, and of course, tree committees a non-web way to learn about transparency. I'm Sam Hutzik.
With the NATO summit just days away, Chicago officials are battening down the hatches for protests that could draw thousands from out of town. But some other Chicagoans are rolling out a welcome mat for those same protesters. They're clearing space in their businesses and churches, allowing tents in their yards, even opening spare bedrooms. Chip Mitchell reports.
Officials are planning to close streets and highways. They're bringing in state police officers and National Guardsmen and preparing for mass arrests. They're ready to roll out a military device that sends ear-piercing tones over long distances. But over in Chicago's McKinley Park neighborhood, there's Lorraine Chavez.
And here's another bedroom if somebody has an inflatable mattress. My kids are off to college, so I have some empty space.
Chavez is offering 2 rooms of her cramped century-old house to some protesters from Florida this weekend.
What do you know about these guests?
Not much. But I requested older guests.
Chavez says she's taking them in because the protest could bring some attention to joblessness in this country.
I am underemployed myself, despite having a master's, a career path, and doctoral work at the University of Chicago. All of the men in my family who are responsible for college-age kids have all been laid off. If we did not have wars, we could have investments for jobs. This is the moment that these demands are being made and heard, and I need to be a part of it.
Chavez got connected to the Floridians through Occupy Chicago. That group's using its website to collect lodging offers and requests for the NATO protests. A group called CanGate has a similar site.
If somebody has 20 dogs and somebody's allergic to dogs, that would be a bad match.
Pat Hunt is helping run that system.
They're providing a warehouse space for 50 to 100 people. they've asked us to have somebody there just to make sure that, you know, no drugs, no alcohol, no weapons, obviously, you know, that type of thing.
The anti-NATO groups say they've fielded offers from about 265 potential hosts. They include a homeowner who's installing a wheelchair ramp for a disabled protester, Latino nonprofit groups taking in guests as long as they don't draw police back to the neighborhood, which is full of undocumented immigrants, a man in DuPage County's letting protesters camp around a house he's losing to foreclosure, and an African-American congregation's offering its yard for tents.
It was almost a no-brainer for us. It was just a matter of really logistics and trying to work out the logistics for it.
John Marshall serves on the board of that church, Trinity Episcopal. It's just a few blocks from McCormick Place, the site of the NATO summit. Marshall says hosting protesters is not exactly a stand against the military alliance.
It's the residue of what happens with war, what happens to refugees, what happens to people who are made poor because of war. Even if they're not within the theater of war, there's lots of people that are poor in the world that we could be helping, as opposed to making another B-1 bomber.
Trinity officials say there hasn't been much fallout for their stand, but they are hearing from some neighbors. When the church held an educational forum about NATO, some nearby homeowners showed up with questions about the campers.
How are you going to keep your guests on your property and not coming onto the property of other people who live in the neighborhood?
We are going to monitor them. And they're going to be part of, no, they're going to be out. They're going to be outside at their own porta potties and provide their own stuff.
Someone peeing in a neighbor's yard isn't the worst thing that could happen. Pat Hunt, the protester who's running one of the housing websites, says what worries her is theft or any sort of attack.
Either one of the guests takes advantage of the host or a host takes advantage of one of the guests. Somebody would get hurt. That's always my fear.
Hunt says these logistical considerations go beyond this protest against NATO. She says her movement has to start creating the sort of world it's demanding.
If what we're saying is shared resources, then we have to model shared resources.
Hunt thinks this model can work. And this weekend, we might see if she's right. Chip Mitchell.
This fall, visit England and Wales, locations made famous in Last of the Summer Wine, Downton Abbey, and more, including Agatha Christie's home on the coast of South Devon. Does American history suit you? Well, travel in private vintage train cars on our Civil War train. This September's itinerary includes important southern battlefields and discussions with historian Anthony Pitch. Information is at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 15th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the nonfiction author Laura Hillenbrand, born Fairfax, Virginia, 1967, author of the bestsellers Seabiscuit and Unbroken, a writer who suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome, so she can go for long periods of time without ever being able to leave her home in Washington, D.C. She conducts all of her research by phone and email. Laura Hillenbrand said, "I'm looking for a way out of here. I can't have it physically, so I'm going to have it intellectually." It was a beautiful thing to ride Seabiscuit in my imagination. It's my way of living vicariously. It's the birthday of the man who said, "I think charm is the ability to be truly interested in other people." Richard Avedon, born New York City, 1923, fashion photographer, also did portraits of celebrities and mental patients, carnival workers, war protesters, ordinary working class people. It's the birthday of Lyman Frank Baum, born Chittenango, New York, 1856, moved to Aberdeen, South Dakota when he was 32, opened up a general store called Baum's Bazaar. He was very popular with the kids in the neighborhood. He told stories, smoking a big cigar, also very generous with credit, and his store went bankrupt. So he got a job as an editor for the local paper, published his first book, Mother Goose in Prose, in 1897, collection of stories based on the nursery rhymes, then Father Goose, his book. But it was his novel that came out in 1900, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, that we know him for today. It was a big success. He went on to write 13 more novels based on the Land of Oz. It was on this date, 1869, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony formed the National Woman Suffrage Association. There was a movement afoot in favor of the 15th Amendment, granting voting rights to African-American men, but not to women. And the women's suffrage movement was divided over whether to support that bill. Some felt that any advancement in civil rights would eventually help women. The other faction, led by Stanton and Anthony, opposed giving those rights to another group of men who they felt would then have no further interest in advancing the cause of women. So they formed their own national organization and made a team, worked together for 50 years. Susan B. Anthony never married, so she could travel. Stanton could not. She stayed home, raised her kids, did the research, and wrote the speeches. Elizabeth Cady Stanton